Well, this morning we're continuing on, and we're in this series called Healthy and Holy Living in 2017. And basically what we're doing is we're going through the fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned in Galatians 5, verse 22. So I'm going to quiz you. Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Anybody remember what the first one is? Love. Okay. Man, you guys are doing good, because that was a few weeks ago. What about the second one? Love and then joy. Maybe some of you guys reading your Bible. Okay. That's good. And the one we talked about last week was peace. And today we're talking about a favorite for all of us, and that's patience. Don't you wish the world was a perfect place? You know, somebody gave me this definition of a perfect world. Chocolate would have no calories. Procrastination would be honored as a virtue. Teenagers would rather clean their rooms than talk on the phone. Or here's another one for a perfect world. Politicians would pay us taxes. How about this one? Children on trips would say, "Isn't riding in the car fun?" And then they'd go to sleep. Here's what children would say a perfect world is. Candy would be considered a vegetable. Or children would not develop vocal cords until after they move away from home. Now, women would say a perfect world would mean this. Men would go through labor. Okay. Well, unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. So we have to deal with the fourth secret of healthy and holy living and healthy and holy relationships. And it's the fourth fruit of the Spirit, and it's patience. Because we all need patience in an imperfect world. Proverbs 14:29 says, "A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly." He's saying it's wise to be patient, but it's foolish to be quick-tempered. And you can talk about patience without talking about anger. Because that's what patience is. That verse says it's slow to get angry. The Greek word for patience is makrothumos. Makro means long or slow. Thumos means heat or energy or anger or wrath. So it's talking about slow to get angry. It means you have a long fuse. You don't boil over quickly. You know how to manage your anger. Now, anger is not wrong. God gave you the capacity to get angry. Anger is not always wrong. Sometimes anger is the appropriate response in a situation. If you don't ever get angry, you're a vegetable. Okay? Did God ever get angry? Yes. At the right things. Did Jesus ever get angry? Yes. God has given you the capacity to get angry, but it must be managed. Anger out of control is very destructive in your relationships. So we're going to look today at what the Bible says. There's seven keys that we're going to look at how to manage your anger. Here's the first one. Resolve. You have to, first of all, resolve to manage it. Quit saying, "I can't control my anger," and start believing that you can control it. You know, it's better to be slow-tempered. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better to be slow-tempered than famous." It's better to have self-control than to control an army. So we're going to be talking more about this self-control in a few weeks because it's also one of the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, you will begin to notice that all of the fruits are closely associated with each other. And I believe the root to all of them, the key to all of them, is love, which was mentioned first. But if you're going to resolve anger issues, you have to have self-control and quit making excuses and accept responsibility for it. You have far more control over your anger than you actually think you do. And the key is that it's difficult to control your anger while you're angry, because you get this kind of adrenaline rush and you can't control it. It just seems to be overpowering the chemical reaction in your body. The key is to resolve to manage it. Don't blame it on other people or other circumstances. It's not the guy in front of you that pulled in front of you. It's not his fault. You know, if it was easy, it wouldn't be compared to controlling an army. You decide in advance, before you get angry, how you're going to handle it. And unless you learn how to do this, you're never going to have healthy relationships. Here's the second thing. The second key in how to manage your anger is realize the cost of uncontrolled anger. Realize what the cost is. You're less likely to get angry if you realize what it's going to cost you. And there's always a price tag when you get angry. Scripture says a hot-tempered man starts fights and gets into all kinds of trouble. You know, I read once it says you never get to the top if you keep blowing your top. When you lose your temper, you're the one who's losing. You always lose out. The Bible's very specific about the damage that uncontrolled anger does. It says, the Bible says hot tempers cause arguments. It says anger causes mistakes. The Bible says people with hot tempers do foolish things. In Proverbs 11:29, it says the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. It destroys relationships. If you don't get this in control, it can destroy your relationships. Parents, when we motivate our children with anger, you might get short-term results. You might put the fear of God in them. You get angry and they do it out of fear. But in the long term, in the relationship, you always will lose. Anger always produces other anger back. It produces apathy and alienation. It strains the relationship. When you discipline your children in anger, you are teaching them to act out in anger, not in self-control. Here's the third key to managing anger. Reflect before reacting. Reflect before, don't respond impulsively. Delay is a tremendous tool and a great remedy in anger. By delay, I'm not saying that you save your anger for weeks and months and years. That's called resentment. It doesn't work. In Ephesians, it says, don't ever go to bed angry. When you swallow your anger, your stomach keeps score. You know, when you swallow your anger, it takes it out on your body. So don't go to bed angry. If you do, you internalize anger and it will hurt you. But anger delayed gives it time to cool down. Thomas Jefferson once said, when you're angry, you count to 10. When you're very angry, you count to 100. Why? It gives you the chance to slow down. And when you get angry, this emotional energy goes into you, this adrenaline rush, and your whole body goes on alert. But when you give it some time, it calms you down. The longer you hold your temper, the more it improves. It gives you some time to think about what you're angry about and reflect on it. Proverbs 29:11 says, a stupid man gives free rein to his anger. A wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Did you know cool is a biblical term? You know, it's modern. It's a modern translation of this verse. A stupid man gives free rein to his anger. A wise man waits and chills out. That would be a modern translation. Sometimes you need to just take a chill pill, you know, and calm down. Before you put your mouth in gear, make sure your mind is in motion and you've given yourself a chance to slow down. So what do you do during this delay period? While you're waiting, try to understand your anger. Analyze it. Look at it. Ask yourself three questions. Why am I angry? Stop and think, what's making me mad? Whenever you get angry, it is always the result of, I think, one of these three things. One, we get angry when we're hurt. You know, when I'm hurt, I get angry. If you're nailing nails with a hammer and you miss the nail and you hit your thumb, you get angry. It hurts. In a relationship, when somebody's been hurt, a lot of times they get angry. Number two, reason we get angry when we get frustrated. Have you noticed when the weather is hot and humid, everybody seems to get irritable? I remember Diane used to put on the refrigerator some little saying about watch the heat, you know, because being from Oregon, it tends to get you irritable. So we get angry when we get frustrated. Three, fear is the third cause. When you push an animal back into a corner and he's afraid, eventually he'll attack. You know, when people get pushed so far that they're afraid, they feel threatened, they can get angry. When somebody gets angry at you, rather than focusing on the anger, focus on which of these three it really might be. You know, are they hurt? Are they frustrated? Are they upset? Are they afraid? And if you understand that, isn't that a whole lot easier to deal with? It's easier to deal with hurt, frustration, and fear than it is to deal with anger. When you're hurt or frustrated or fearful, you need to tell the person in the relationship. That's a whole lot easier to deal with than anger. Always look behind the cause and see what's causing the real anger. And once you do that, then you're ready to resolve it. Here's the fourth key. Release my anger appropriately. You know, once I've reflected and stopped and thought about what's irritating me, then I release my anger appropriately. Ephesians 4:26 in the Good News Translation says, if you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. In that verse, it's saying that it's possible to be angry and not sin. Yes, it's possible to be angry and not do something wrong. There are right ways to get angry and wrong ways to get angry. There are appropriate responses and inappropriate responses. There are helpful ways to be angry. There are harmful ways to be angry. The scripture says if you become angry, don't let your anger lead you into sin. Now, one of the ways that people let anger lead them into sin is by denying it. We don't like to admit it when we're angry. I remember a few years ago, Diane used to say, you're angry. I said, no, I'm not. I'm frustrated. Same thing. You know? Many people, especially Christians, often think if I deny my anger, I'm being patient. That when I'm irritated and I'm angry and I deny it, that's being patient. But that's not patience. That's just lying to yourself. So God doesn't say being patient means to say I'm not angry when you really are, because that would be untruthful. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about here. Patience is not just pushing it down and pushing it in and pretending it doesn't exist. Anger is not necessarily sin. It's how you release it that can become a sin. Most people tend to express their anger in ways that when they do it, they end up being farther away from their goal than before they were angry. Blowing up, exploding, never produces the lasting change that you want. It only blows things up. It only produces alienation and apathy and more anger back. I'm convinced that you can get what you want out of most relationships if you learn to respond correctly. There's a book, a great book. It's called The Language of Love by Gary Smalley. It's a good book to read on marriage and partnerships and relationships with friends and your family and children. He talks about how to communicate your needs in a relationship without blowing the other person away. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. So you need to understand that we all have an unlimited supply of anger. We do. You know, there's a myth out there that psychologists teach us. It says, you've got this bucket full of anger in your life, and if you'll just dump out the bucket, all right and fantastic and happy. Some psychologists teach you to do this. Anybody ever heard of that? Anybody ever heard anybody vent on them? You know, it's just kind of like if I emotionally vomit, you know, I'm going to feel better. You know, then I'll feel, oh, I've got it all out. Once you empty your bucket, you'll be okay. There's a whole therapy about this. It's called the primal scream. Okay. If I can just scream out my anger, then all things that were done wrong to me growing up will be fine. Seriously, they've got this therapy where they put them in a room and say, scream. I never could scream very good, so I wouldn't do good at that. There's only one problem with it. It doesn't work. You may feel temporarily relieved when you vent on someone else, but you're the only one who feels good. Believe me, the other person that you just vented on, they don't feel good. And it's just temporary. It doesn't work. Why? Because you don't have a bucket of anger in your life. You've got a factory. Okay? This factory has this incessant ability to produce more and more anger. Study after study shows, and more importantly, the Bible teaches real clearly that aggression causes more aggression. Anger causes more anger. Outbursts lead to other outbursts. As a parent, if I outburst against my kid, what am I modeling for them? Outbursts? You know, it just comes back to you. The fact is, we are all irritated by different things. For example, when somebody in your family makes you late, does that make you angry? Some of you it does. Some of you don't really care, you know. When somebody makes you wait, does that make you angry? Does it irritate you? When somebody in your family doesn't remember what you told them, does that make you angry? We all respond to different irritations in different ways. A husband said to his wife, "When I get mad at you, you never fight back. How do you control your anger?" The wife says, "Well, I clean the toilet bowl." Husband said, "How does that help?" "I use your toothbrush." When we're irritated, some of us blow up. And some of us clam up. You know, some of us are mountains of Vesuvius, and some of us just kind of stuff it down. You know, I think people are in a couple classifications when it comes to this. Some are skunks and some are turtles. Okay, the skunk, when he gets angry, he lets everybody know it. The turtle just pulls back into his shell and harbors it there. How do you respond to anger? You've got four possible options. Three of them, I have to tell you, don't work. First one that doesn't work is you don't repress it. You know, you don't repress anger. That's not what God wants you to do. Repression is when you just say, "I'm just going to stuff it. You know, I'm going to push it down into my body. I'm angry, I'm ticked, but I'm not going to do anything about it because I'm just going to swallow my anger." People will say, "Boy, he makes me mad. That burns me up." Literally, it is. It's burning them up on the inside. So don't repress it. You never solve anything by pushing it down. Second thing, don't suppress it. You know, suppressing, it means to ignore it. Pretend it doesn't exist. You know, it's like, what? Me angry? You just try to ignore it and try to pretend that it's not there. But stuffing it down and pretending it isn't there doesn't work. And third, don't express it. And what I mean by that is some people say, "I'm just going to let it all hang out and tell it how it is. Tell people how I feel." And they blow up, or they're sarcastic, and there are many ways to express it. Some of you don't blow up, but you're great pouters, you know, and you pout and you get your way through pouting, or you're manipulators, or you're sarcastic, or cynical. You look for ways to drown your anger, whether it's in an affair, or getting drunk, or drugs, or whatever it is. Just trying to get away from the anger that you felt, either growing up or now. And it doesn't work. God says that the way you deal with anger is you confess it. You just admit it when you're angry. You admit it, you confess it. You admit it to yourself. And then you look behind it and say, why am I angry? What am I angry about? You know, is it because I'm hurting or I'm afraid or I'm frustrated? And then you admit it to God. You go to God and say, God, I'm mad. You know, we serve a big God. You know, I have people tell me once in a while, boy, I got angry at God. Like, he can take it. You know? But you go to God and you say, God, I don't like this situation. He's irritating me to no end, or he burns me up. And third, you admit it to the person. Just level with them and say, I'm hurt, or I'm frustrated, or I'm irritated, or I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm losing something in this relationship, and I don't want to lose it, and I feel like fighting for it. Here's the fifth key, and that's renewing my mind. These last three keys deal with long-term change. If you have had a habitual pattern of dealing with anger in an inappropriate way, then you're going to need to practice these last three over long-term to change your lifestyle from one of anger to one of love and one of patience. So you renew your mind. Pastor Mike just talked about this a few weeks ago out of Romans 12. And Romans 12 says this, you'll probably remember this, be transformed by making New Year's resolutions. Is that what Pastor Mike said? No? Oh, good. I'm glad you guys were listening. Be transformed by watching an infomercial and buying a videotape. No. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible makes it very clear. The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. If I'm angry, it's because I feel angry. If I feel angry, it's because I'm choosing to think angry thoughts. If I want to change my behavior or my feelings, I've got to change the way I think. I've got to renew my mind. Your beliefs control your behavior. So you have to start by renewing your mind. I'd like you to go home this week and put this outline on your bathroom mirror and read, or on the refrigerator, whichever the one you use the most. For me, it's the refrigerator. There's 13 or 14 verses in this outline. And when you start to get angry, God, it's like, who drank all the milk and put it back empty? You know, that might make you angry, like it does me. And so, but you start reading these verses, God can bring these things to mind and help you calm down. You're filling your mind with the right thing. You're renewing your mind. Everything in society teaches you to reprogram yourself and to not express anger appropriately. Whew. You know, on TV, 40%, if not more, of the shows will have inappropriate expressions of anger. TV teaches you this. Get angry, use a gun. Get angry, blow them up. Get angry, cuss them out. Get angry, yell back. Get angry, seek revenge. We're programmed with that over and over and over so that we start acting that way. You need to repattern your mind with the truth, not with lies, because the truth sets you free, and that's what Jesus said. So the solution to getting the anger lowered in my life is to realize what God has said about you. And what he says is that you, each one of you, you matter to God. He knows everything about you. Guess what? He still loves you. Okay? He made you for a purpose. He brought you here, even this morning, for a purpose. You're here today. You matter to him. You know, pick up a little baby that's crying. And once they're secure and warm, they stop crying. Doesn't always work when I pick up babies. I think I scare them a little bit. But you matter to him. God, with God, it's the same principle. He cares about you. Here's the second thing. Hang out with people who are patient. In Proverbs 22, 24, and 25, it says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Is anger contagious? Yeah. You better believe it. It's infectious. If some guy cuts you off in traffic and then honks the horn and gives you the one-finger salute, is that contagious? Yeah, it is. So if I start yelling at you, eventually you'd start yelling at me. Anger is contagious. When we get it out, other people pick it up. So if you are serious about breaking this pattern in your life and you need to hang out with some people who have got it together in this area, that is one of the reasons why we have church. You know, it's not the perfect place. There's definitely no perfect people here. This is a church for people who want to grow. But the people who come to church are at least making an effort to do what's right, which is better than a lot of people are. So you hang out with other believers, and this is called fellowship. Why? You start picking up their good qualities too. And there's value in that. There's great value. The way that you express your anger is not in your genes. You learned it from someone. You learned it by growing up and watching other people. I can remember Donna, whose birthday is today, has a son, Stephen. And I can remember Stephen growing up. We lived in the same town at that time, and he was like a son to me. And Stephen cannot hear. He's deaf. But he is not lacking when it comes to intelligence. Okay? And Stephen has an older sister, Stephanie, who was just visiting here a couple weeks ago. And when they were young, I mean really young, Stephanie knew exactly what to do to get Stephen's goat and to get him going. And I remember one day, and I think Stephen must have been watching TV when his parents weren't there, and I think he was watching the WWF, World Wrestling, because I saw him jump off the corner of the couch and put his sister into some hold that I had never seen before. He knew the holds to use when he got angry. If anger is a learned response, then it can be unlearned. And that's good news. And I don't have to go the rest of my life being manipulated by my moods. I don't have to go the rest of my life being controlled by my feelings. I can learn to be patient when everything in me wants to be impatient. Here's the seventh thing. Rely on Christ's help. Romans 15:5 says, may God who gives patience. See that word gives? Patience is a gift. It's a gift from God that you can receive. It says, may God who gives patience, steadiness, and encouragement help you to live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ toward the other. Isn't that what the goal is? In healthy and holy relationships in 27? That we can live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ toward the other. This morning, would you like to have patience and steadiness and encouragement in your relationships? Would you like to be able to live in complete harmony with each other? The answer is that last phrase, each with the attitude of Christ toward the other. How does Jesus Christ help me control my impatience, my frustrations, and my anger? Here's how he does it. Jesus Christ helps me with my anger by dealing with the root cause. He deals with the real reason that I'm angry. If the root cause of my anger is hurts, Jesus can replace my hurt with his love. You may have been rejected as a kid. You may have been unloved. You may have felt ostracized by others. Your pain matters to God. Jesus can replace your hurt with his love. Maybe you're angry. Your anger is a result of frustration. He can give you his peace. We talked about it last week. The peace of God allows me to be calm in the middle of a storm. It's that peace that passes all understanding. Maybe your anger is a result of insecurity and fear. Jesus can replace your fears and insecurities with his power. The fact is, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us do. Much less next year or 10 years from now. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. The point is, when Christ is in my life, I don't have to control it all. I don't have to be in control. I don't have to feel like I've got my ducks in a row, like it's all together, like I'm holding it all together. I can relax because he's got it all under control. He knows what's best for me. His power replaces my insecurity. Friends, the level of patience you have in your life will be in direct proportion to your relationship with Christ. He can give you the power to live a life that is spirit-filled and spirit-controlled. You don't have to be controlled by the circumstances of life that frustrate and make you angry. I remember once somebody asking somebody, well, why are you so angry? He goes, well, but under the circumstances, he goes, what are you doing down there? Guy goes, what? What are you doing under the circumstances? You don't have to be controlled by the circumstances. You can be a person of patience that's living in Christ's control. Would you pray with me? Lord, this morning, we're dealing with a subject that all of us need to work on at one time or another. That all of us need to back off and realize that no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the person, no matter what the hurt, no matter what the frustration, that God, you are still supreme. That you are still in control. Lord, we pray that you would give us the self-control to exercise patience and not frustration, to exercise patience and not anger. Lord, help us to be people who are known by love. Known by love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.